CBS Island of the World, Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleague and co-host and co-pilot, David Livingston, Dr. Space himself, of The Space Show. And we're looking at North Korea as a space power. The headlines suggest that North Korea, most recently, successful. First North Korea spy satellite is alive and being controlled from the ground. This is a report from The Guardian. However, we have a better source than The Guardian. Bruce Bechtel, the author most recently of North Korea and Military Proliferation in the Middle East and Africa, where I note a lot of North Korean weapons are now flowing into those regions, is also someone who can help us understand this space program that looks to be an extension of the ballistic missile program, that looks to be an extension of the aggression that North Korea visits upon the whole region. Professor Bechtel, Bruce, a very good evening to you. The launch of the spy satellite. I tell a story. Once upon a time, Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, traveled to Vladivostok and then on to Vostochny. He can do that because Russia and North Korea share a border. It's a narrow border, but the trains work. And at Vostochny, the spaceport maintained by Roscosmos in Siberia, they exchanged smiles, and I believe there were gifts exchanged as well. Kim Jong-un got a limousine. However, the question is, did he get one more thing? Because suddenly, after some years of talking about it, there was a successful launch of a satellite. Did Roscosmos step in and guide the North Koreans to your knowledge? Good evening to you, Bruce.
Good evening, John, and also good evening, David. It's very nice to meet you. Your reputation precedes you. And I think that there is almost no doubt for anyone who's been watching North Korea's space program, such as it is, that they have been getting assistance from the Russians. How much and what type of assistance is unclear now, although it should become more clear in coming months. But as the three of us have talked about before this program, you know, very, very simple primitive concerns such as how do you guide the missile? How do you change its orbit trajectory? How do you get downlinks from the missile? These are all things that the North Koreans just haven't done very well for any of the satellites that they've launched or attempt to launch in past years. In addition, the North Koreans want to launch a whole lot of these. And the reason for that is because, you know, every single inch of North Korea is covered by American and ROK spy satellites. And not only that, even if we had no satellites at all, our air breathers, the aircraft that don't fly in space, cover every inch of North Korea as well. Kim Jong-un wants to change that. He's never going to get even close to changing that in a way that will change the playing field, but he can begin to get some real live intelligence on South Korean movements and on American movements, and that's what he's shooting for.
David, you have a question.
While his technology might be primitive, is it capable of being tampered with or blocked by ROK or by the United States?
You know, I don't know that because I don't know what technology it, well, as it stood before, yes. As of right now, I don't know because as both you and John know, when Kim Jong-un visited Russia, he specifically visited space facilities and manufacturing facilities for space equipment and satellite equipment. That undoubtedly was at his request. This is clearly a priority of Kim Jong-un. I read a piece that you all sent me. I don't think this is as high a priority, for example, as their ballistic missile program. But I think intelligence collection where the North Koreans are relying on something other than just human, you know, spies, is something that they want to advance into. Now, as far as the Russians and what they've probably given them already, they've probably given them guidance systems, given them, you know, technology on how to do that and how to avoid, you know, countermeasures from the ROK and the U.S. alliance. How much of that they've given them? And how advanced that is, is probably a better guess made by you than by me, David.
What's the booster, Bruce? What are they using?
Typically, they have used the Unha 3 system, and the first rocket, in other words, a stage one of that is essentially three nodongs tied together. Not tied together. It's, four nodong engines that are used as a booster rocket to get it up in the air. And then from there, they've changed rockets out from time to time. I believe now the rocket, one of the engines that they're using for the second stage is what we've seen called the RD-250, which we also see in the Hwasong 15.
David, you have a question.
I'm curious as to what North Korea can give to Russia or offer in exchange for all this technology. Do they have any economy that's worth paying them anything for it? What's the trade-off here, or do they just want to help them because they're in their alignment block?
Well, I think a commonality that North Korea and Russia have in common now is they don't do something for nothing. And certainly that's not the case here. The latest estimate is the North Koreans have sent the Russians, sold them 2.5 million shells and rockets. That is a lot. That's close to 10,000 containers that fit on a railroad car or on a container ship. They've also sold them several dozen versions of their copy of the Iskander ballistic missile, and lots of small arms, SKSs, things of that nature, machine guns, the Type 58 rifle, which is their version of the AK-47, all that kind of stuff. That's what they have sold the Russians. Now, in exchange so far, what we've seen them get back has been ships that come back from that small port that's south of Vladivostok and hit Najin or Rosin. Those ships are we think, because we haven't seen what's in the containers, probably carrying things like foodstuffs, such as flour, rice, et cetera, for the North Koreans. That's only part of the price that they're having to pay, because they're selling the Russians literally billions of dollars worth of armaments. So no doubt whatever deal that Kim Jong-un and Putin worked out also includes things such as technical assistance for their ballistic missile program, upgrades or increased capabilities for their fighter jet program. They still fly MiG-29s. And of course, what looks to be coming Kim Jong-un's new pet toy, which is the space program. And I think that Kim Jong-un has specifically requested, it's very obvious, a lot of technical support for that program, because it's essentially been floundering, growing at a very slow rate since they launched their very first, or made their first attempt to launch a satellite in 1998.
Once upon a time, North Korea was R&D for Iran. Now Iran is boasting of its missile capabilities with the Houthis, the Hezbollah, even into Russia. Are these programs now separated, or do they still have something in common? Do they exchange information, North Korea and Iran? We have about a minute.
Well, that's a great question, John. Just to answer your question, the missiles that Iran has sold or given to the Houthis are nothing more than North Korean products, upgraded probably with North Korean assistance, Scud Cs with advanced capabilities, which the Iranians also have. It appears they have a Nodong, which they call the EMOD, which has a longer range, about 1,700 kilometers, which was also upgraded with the help of the North Koreans. And there is the missiles they've been firing at ships are probably Chinese made. The actual anti-ship missiles. They got those from the Chinese years ago, and they probably passed some of those along to the Houthis. So these two countries and their missile programs are very closely tied still, and the roles are still North Korea is the seller and Iran is the buyer.
Bruce Bechtel, Professor Bruce Bechtel at Angelo State University, is the author most recently of North Korea and Military Proliferation in Middle East and Africa, David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.